yeah, I could see in a big house how it would just be almost impossible. And I would get so excited. I mean, I love to change it up. So having two different ideas going on in here is ideal for me.
Yeah, it's like Barbie in the front, mushroom in the back. It's kind of like a,
yes,
like a mushroom yeah, mullet.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that.
Welcome to the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast, the show where you learn how to plan, build, and live the tiny lifestyle. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and this is episode 273 with Mallory Rankin. Mallory is a tiny house dweller who lives in a stationary tiny house that she calls Mal's Mushroom House. The house is beautifully renovated and really has kind of a fairy tale-like theme and feel to it. In this conversation, we'll learn about the history of Mal's Mushroom House, the interior renovations that Mallory did to the house, and I was really surprised to hear how inexpensive she was able to do these renovations for. She used things like countertop wrapping, cabinet wraps, and created an accent wall using trim board. I get Mallory to spill her secrets about where she actually stores her stuff, and we talk challenges of living tiny. It's a really fun, quick conversation, and I hope you stick around to hear about Mallory's tiny house lifestyle.
I asked John and Finn Kernahan of United Tiny House Association what they love about their Precision Temp hot water heaters, and here's what they told me.
Hey, Ethan. This is John and Finn Kernahan with United Tiny House Association.
We organize tiny house festivals.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
First and foremost.
We have a total of 3 Precision Temp on-demand hot water heaters. The thing we really like about these, and folks know this, I think they picked this up on Finn and I, if we don't like something, you'll never hear us talk about it. So the 2 things we noticed that we noticed and experienced immediately, they took painstaking effort to make sure that it was done right and installed. And so that was pretty cool right there. The other thing is the continuous on-demand hot water that just ran forever without any fluctuations or anything. I can't imagine an application, especially in our environment and our lifestyle of being the nomad, transportable, mobile, tiny lifestyle where one of these units aren't good to use.
Right now, Precision Temp is offering $100 off any unit plus free shipping when you use the coupon code THLP. So head over to precisiontemp.com and use the coupon code THLP at checkout for $100 off any unit. That's PrecisionTemp.com, coupon code THLP. Thank you so much to Precision Temp for sponsoring our show. All right, I am here with Mallory Rankin. Mallory is a tiny home owner. She calls it Mal's Mushroom House. Mal's home is 500 square feet and a bubbly reflection of her personality. Mallory Rankin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. So since this is a podcast and people aren't necessarily seeing your house beyond, you know, the cover image for this episode, tell me about Mal's Mushroom House. What's it all about?
Okay. Yeah. So my home is, it almost looks a little fairy-like.
Yep.
It's 500 square feet. So really when you walk in, you'll see my kitchen, my little living room, and then I have sort of like a loft feature for my bedroom and closet. So it's just kind of like a big room, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is there any, is there a basement or anything like that, or is it just built, it's built right on a slab?
Nope, built right on a slab. I do have a shed outside.
Okay.
Which is just big enough to really hold like my bike, and I do have like an extra freezer out there and some extra storage for like my lawnmower and such.
Nice. Yeah. I've always thought that like, I feel like I could live in a really, really extremely tiny house as long as I had like a decent sized garage to keep like bikes and other outdoor gear in.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta have somewhere to put your lawnmower because it gets out of control.
So how long have you been in the Mushroom House and what was it like when you bought it?
So I bought it a little over a year ago now, and it was probably a little expensive for the market, but I bought it for $170,000. Mm-hmm. So I was really just like kind of struggling to find some place to live because it's just hard to rent these days, and I'm in Wisconsin. And so the person who was selling it, mm-hmm. he had kind of remodeled it. It used to be more just of like, to my knowledge, it used to be more so like bones.
Okay.
And he made it livable. So okay. when I walked in, everyone was like, well, the realtor and a couple other realtors were like, oh, you know, it's really probably just good for, you know, one person and mm-hmm. maybe you'd make it an Airbnb. But I was like, well, no, I need somewhere to live. So yeah. this is perfect.
Yeah, I'm like, here.
I'll take it. Yeah. yep. Works for me.
That's awesome. And is this the first home that you owned?
No, it is the second home I've owned.
Okay.
So I downsized.
Yeah, so you downsized.
yeah.
What was your previous home like?
It was 1,600 square feet, so it was pretty big. I think we had two bedrooms, mm-hmm. bath, two bathrooms, a basement, and chickens and property, and it was a lot different.
Yeah, so, so fairly like standard single family home, it sounds like.
Yeah.
What, you know, are so now you're kind of living the tiny life.
Yeah.
You know, what has anything pleasantly surprised you that you, you know, thought there was going to be a problem or a challenge that you turns out that you really like it?
Yeah. So I would say the most challenging thing I've found is really not having a washer and dryer on site.
Oh, yeah.
That I think is probably the worst part. I mean, laundromats, it's kind of fun the first couple times, but then when you can't afford to do $10 per, you know, time you need to do your laundry, it gets a little old. But honestly, I've always kind of, I'm this kind of person where I don't mind doing things the hard way. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was kind of exciting. It's still been kind of exciting to just, you know, use my smaller appliances, and I just go grocery shopping a little more because my mm-hmm. fridge is tiny and whatnot. But no, I've really adapted well, and I really love it, honestly. But you do have to, you know, adapt to this lifestyle. Yeah.
Is there anything that maybe was more of a challenge adapting than you expected?
Let me think here. Hardest thing. Man, I would say just, it's hard to describe, I guess, other than just saying like, I have like a mini fridge, like you would use in a college dorm room, you know? So I have to get super creative with the space I have for just cooking, and, you know, I don't have like a pantry or anything. Uh-huh. So I have to... It not only does it just make it more challenging to do things like on a day to day, but I also have to like prepare for that. You know, I have to go to the grocery store more, and I think that's been the hardest thing for me. I'm like a big like cooker and everything like that. So honestly, I would say that's the hardest. Other than that, I've really loved, you know, downsizing. And I think as far as my own personal items, I've never been one to have a lot. So, or hold on to things.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So I think I originally saw, you know, I found out about your house and you from a YouTube tour. And
yeah.
In the tour, you actually talked about some of the renovations and things that you did, because the house, you know, the interior is such so intentional, and it's like, it's really got a theme to it. And so the first thing that I love learning about new products that exist, especially ones that like make it look like you have a new kitchen, but was only like a couple bucks on Amazon.
Yeah.
So can you tell me about like the countertop wrap and the cabinet wraps? I didn't know that those existed, and it's just such a cool concept.
Yeah. So honestly, I'm trying to think where I first learned this, but in my last home, I had wrapped the countertops because they were just ugly. Mm-hmm. I really didn't love them. They were not my favorite color. And I was like, you know, I want to find something that looks like kind of like a fake marble type of thing. So I did this in my last house, and it worked so well. So when I moved in here, I did it to the countertops again and just found ultimately you just really need to find something that's waterproof,
mm-hmm.
which there are so many options on Amazon, by the way. But
yeah,
then I was like, well, I don't really want to paint this beautiful wood that's underneath here for the cabinets just in case someday somebody would like it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to try to do it to the cabinets as well. And I did, and it worked awesome. I also used one that was waterproof, but it was just, the material was a little bit kind of softer, if okay. you will. It's hard to describe, but it's kind of a different material, okay. more like a soft vinyl, yeah. I would think.
Okay.
But yeah, it worked awesome. And it is a little time consuming, and you want to make sure you have like the little toolkit that you can get online as well to do vinyl wrapping.
Okay.
But you know, it probably took me like all of 2 days to do.
Yeah.
And so it's a really great alternative if you're not trying to deconstruct your whole, you know,
yeah,
cabinetry.
I mean, not to mention just like how expensive new kitchen cabinets and countertops are.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, you could just get a slab for cheap. And I was like, this just seems way easier. I'm not trying to do all of that.
Yeah, so. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, another fun thing that I saw in your tour was kind of the accent wall that you put in the bathroom and the living room. Can you talk about like how you built that?
Yeah. Yeah. So again, something I had kind of done in my previous household just for fun one time, and it was pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm a do-it-yourselfer in a way, but I just went and I bought like a tiny miter saw,
mm-hmm.
like so tiny, very light,
mm-hmm.
easy to get around. And I just put it in the floor of my house, and I bought some like little trim board mm-hmm. from Menards,
mm-hmm.
and I just measured it out, cut it to length, and I actually just hammered them on with some nails, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, just a super easy, fun way to make it look super cute and like add something interesting. So I highly recommend it if you're just trying to add some detail, you know, to your room.
Yeah. And so it's just, you know, you put that wood up on the wall and painted it another color, and then you've got this, like, it just really pops. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. In such a small space, you really want to make it look larger and make it look fun. And yep. I felt like that was kind of the energy. So, yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, every tiny house owner needs some storage space. You also mentioned the shed. Where else, you know, in this little house are you finding ways to store your things?
I have had to get a little bit creative with the small amount that I do mm-hmm. have. I really don't. Again, I don't have like a pantry or anything, so I just keep a lot of fresh food around, but
mm-hmm.
it's probably a little messier in some areas. It's not as organized as one would think, but I like my closet. Everything that you can see, I have storage even behind it. So I okay. have like a lot of baskets and a lot of like little drawers, and I'm always putting things out in the shed that I don't need that are in or out of season.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course we have the perfect four seasons here in Wisconsin. So I'm lucky I'm able to do that. If I don't need anything for winter, it yep. goes out there and vice versa. So
yep.
I do a lot of that.
A lot of changing over.
Yes. And a lot of detaching from things you just really don't need ultimately.
Yeah. And, you know, I've found living in a small space that it really forces you to confront, you know, any purchase, even if it's something that you can afford, you really have to be like literally, where the heck am I going to put this thing when I'm not using it?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a want or is it a need? Yeah.
Do you have any future renovations planned? Any upcoming projects for the house?
My next project that I'd really like to work on would be a stairway.
Mm-hmm.
What I have right now is a little scary. You probably see it if you look into my Instagram a little bit, but
okay,
I'd like to do something more like spiral staircase-ish,
mm-hmm.
that just so it's safe, there's a railway all the yeah. way around.
Yeah.
Yep, that's going to be a big one. I was thinking maybe some outdoor space, like a patio or something, mm-hmm. so I can, you know, in the summertime, I'm outdoors around my house if I can be. So, and I eat outside. I have a table and chairs outside. So yeah. I do eat outside a lot.
Okay.
So I'd like to maybe do some more stuff outside so I can, you know, have a little more of that living room space, but outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about the mushroom theme? Do you have an affinity with mushrooms, or is it just the house itself kind of had this very fairy tale vibe to it?
Yes, that really is where, you know, that all came from. I've always been just, you know, I love the mushroom theme. Mm-hmm. I love mushrooms in general. But I just remember really when I walked into the house for the first time as my own, I started calling it the Mushroom House. Mm. So it just kind of adapted as that, and everyone started calling it that. So
nice.
It really just kind of took off. But ultimately, the more like fun inspired colors is mm-hmm. from like my grandmother. She had a Barbie museum, and oh. I've just always loved pink and Barbies. And so that's ultimately also where the kind of fun colors came into all of that. So
nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love to cook in my tiny house kitchen, but I don't always love to clean up. And one of my big concerns with going tiny was losing the convenience of a dishwasher. That's why I'm so excited to share today's sponsor with you, the Fotile 2-in-1 in-sink dishwasher. It's a dishwasher built into a sink, and it's perfect for tiny house living. This innovative appliance is perfect for modern living in compact spaces. With its efficient design, it saves lower cabinet space and fits perfectly into a standard 36-inch cabinet base, making it ideal for tiny homes. But it's not just about saving space. It's about saving time and water too. The Fotile 2-in-1 in-sink dishwasher offers a quick wash cycle of just 20 minutes, getting your dishes clean in no time. 45-minute standard and 80-minute intensive washes are also available. Plus, it saves nearly 50% of the water a regular dishwasher would consume. With its ergonomic top-loading design, you don't need to bend over like you would with a traditional dishwasher, making it perfect for small kitchens. When it comes to cleanliness, the Fotile 2-in-1 in-sink dishwasher doesn't disappoint. With 5 standard washing and rinsing cycles and a 360-degree cleaning system, it eliminates 99.99% of E. coli and other common bacteria from your dishes, promoting a healthy kitchen environment. Are you worried about installation? Don't be. Fotile provides a comprehensive DIY installation tutorial online, and they are offering Tiny House Lifestyle podcast listeners a special extended 5-year limited warranty. There are over 30 million families around the world enjoying Fotile's full range of cooktops, ovens, range hoods, and in-sink dishwashers. They've channeled 20 years of experience and expertise into these innovative compact dishwashers. This amazing dishwasher has a rating of 4.7 out of 5 on Lowe's.com. Visit us.fotileglobal.com/THLP to learn more and purchase your Fotile 2-in-1 in-sink dishwasher today. That's us.fotileglobal.com/THLP. That link will be in the show notes too. Upgrade your tiny home kitchen with Fotile and experience the convenience of modern living in a compact space. And that is so great that like in a tiny house, it's kind of possible for you to have the whole house be like of a theme and like reflect your personality. I feel like that's a lot harder in a bigger house to have the whole house be like a theme.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like even here, it's funny, you go upstairs and that's more of where I have the mushroom theme, mm-hmm. but downstairs I've kept it, you know, pretty spunky and colorful. So yeah, I could see in a big house how it would just be almost impossible. And I would get so excited. I mean, I love to change it up. So having two different ideas going on in here is ideal for me.
Yeah. It's like, mushroom or Barbie in the front, mushroom in the back. It's kind of like a,
yes,
like a mushroom
yeah,
mullet.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that.
So, you kind of went from a standard home to a tiny home. And you know, the housing market is it sounds like it's crazy where you are. It's crazy where I am. But it sounds like, you know, you're saving some money pretty significantly on this tiny house. Do you have a sense of like you know, what it costs to live there on a month-to-month basis?
Yeah, so my mortgage is, it's affordable. I'm probably with everything, I'm right around, I'd say like $1,450 on average per month. So that is extremely, I mean, probably competitive with if you were to be in an apartment.
Yeah.
And probably much less than most mortgages out there. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What about, like, you know, anything that you've learned along the way that you like to tell people who are, you know, maybe interested in living tiny or interested in doing it independently?
I would definitely say really try to like have a hobby and, you know, like I know it sounds so like so firm and extreme, but no, like you really have to do, you have to get used to being alone. And I mean, cause truly I don't really have like the perfect space for one more. So even sometimes I'm like, oh, do I want an animal or something like that? And I can't really imagine having an animal in this tiny of a place, you know, unless it were a fish or whatnot. But
yeah,
you know, just to really be able to have fun in your own space and make sure you're able to get outside and do some other things, you know, really take a look at what the lifestyle would be like, you know, before you really jump in. But
yeah,
it's definitely worth it. I feel like it makes life a lot more exciting.
Now, do you work from home?
I don't actually. I work at an office, so that's I get the best of both worlds. Really, I think that would be tough to work from home.
Socialization out in the world. Yeah,
yeah.
And were you like? I'm curious. Like, were you thinking about tiny house living kind of before you found the mushroom house, or is it the mushroom house that kind of, you know, kind of turned you on to the idea of living tiny?
Yeah. So actually, I've always wanted to build like a really small A-frame sort of house. So, which I do still have a plan to do in the future. But so when I saw this house on the market, I was like, well, that's perfect. You know, I'm definitely going to go for it. So
yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Cause I, you know, it's, I like to hear about people, especially who are like, maybe like reluctant tiny house dwellers who are then kind of like, oh wow, this is great.
Yeah. I was never reluctant. I was like all in, like immediately.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. And so it sounds like, you know, sometimes like, for example, when I built my tiny house 12 years ago, I was like, well, if I can live in it for 3 years, then I've kind of paid off, you know, my, the rent. Did you have that kind of like, well, it'll just be for like 3-5 years?
Yeah, my thought process was like, well, once I find someone and I settle down, you know, maybe life would look a little different. But for right now, and when I bought it, I was just like, the focus is on me. This is a beautiful chance for me to like be independent and do my own thing. And it's been such a fun experience to like to do this by myself. So yeah, that was kind of my mindset, is once I settle down or find someone and ready to part ways with it, you know, then I will do that.
But, oh no, no. That someone has to build like a thematically appropriate house next door, like mushrooms and like a pine tree, or like mushrooms and moss, the moss
build
house,
a tree, I don't know, house.
A tree house. Exactly. to complete the motif.
Yeah. That would be lovely.
Nice. Are there any like resources or YouTubers or people, you know, who you've followed who have helped inspire you or teach you about, you know, tiny living that you like to kind of recommend to our listeners?
Well, the Tiny Home Tours channel, they really promote so many different people.
Yeah.
A lot of rigs for sure, like on the go and stuff, but they do a lot of tiny homes as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just of course, just using different forms of media, of course, like when you're on Instagram, you can just type in tiny homes and you'll find, and of course, TikTok and YouTube and all of that. You can find just about anything these days. So you just really got to get on the web.
Now, did they come and film that in person, or did you film it and kind of submit the footage to them?
They did. They did wow. film that. Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
They did an incredible job.
Yeah, no, it's really beautiful. And I'm sure it's brought a lot of people and interest your way.
Yeah. Like a little bit. It's been nice to hear there's so many people who want to live this way and they're curious, how do you do it? So yeah, it's nice. It's totally. Nice to be able to help people.
Yeah, definitely. Any surprising connections or just people that you've met as a result of your unconventional housing?
You.
Well, here we are.
Yeah. No, it's funny to see. My favorite thing was when the video was kind of being shared on Facebook. I saw so many people commenting like, that's the house that I like grew up next to, you know, and I always wondered what it looked like inside. So it's kind of fun to see people in my community now like realize that I live here. So that's been kind of the most fun for me, is because I actually don't live. I'm not from the community that this house is in. I'm from 3 hours away.
Okay.
Where I grew up. So people in the community, I feel like now they're like, oh, you know, I've had someone be like, oh, you have the tiny home, you know? So it's like, that's cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. It seems like it's a very recognizable house.
Oh my gosh. You can just be like, oh, it's here. And they're like, oh yeah, duh, I know where you live.
Do you know the story of it? Like, when was it built? Why was it built?
So I know some details. I know that it was built in the 30s, and the person who used to live here had like a big fire truck out front. So it was, people would always say, oh, it's the house with the fire truck. And this fire truck was like iconic in this city. I mean, people were like, oh, the fire truck's gone now. Buy the tiny home. And it used to, like I said, it used to be, I think, just bones. I've heard somebody always lived here. So I don't know if he just lived here, like seriously, like a little, you know, garden gnome guy. Like, I don't know how he lived here. Just like, if it was mostly just bones, people said it was kind of creepy how he lived here. And it was very like, you know, it sounds like it just wasn't built out the way it is now. So I just am always curious. I wish I had more footage of what it looked like a long time ago, but people have told me some very interesting stories. So
nice.
I never knew what's truth or rumor though. So
yeah. Well, it sounds like the house has maybe like a legend that goes with it.
Definitely. Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Well, Mallory Rankin, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It was so fun to get to meet you and talk about the Niles Mushroom House.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was fun.
Thank you so much to Mallory Rankin for being a guest on the show today. You can find the show notes, including a complete transcript, photos of Niles Mushroom House, and the video tour that we talked about over at thetinyhouse.net/273. Again, that's thetinyhouse.net/273. Thank you so much to Fotile for being the sponsor of this week's episode. I really appreciate their support, and I hope you check out their really innovative 2-in-1 in-sink dishwasher. The link for that is in the show notes or on the show notes page at thetinyhouse.net/273. Well, that's all for this week. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and I'll be back next week with another episode of the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast.